Good morning. Good to see everyone out. Nice, cool fall day. Feels good. Good to see you this morning with us. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church, and I'm excited for another day. Get to be in the Lord's house, and a lot of prayer requests this morning. Ask you to remember Linda Swafford. She's been going through a lot of stuff. Remember Jane and Jackie McDaniel. They are. Jane texted me last night. They have decided to bring him home. And going to try to take care of him at home. The kids are going to help all they can, but be much in prayer for her. If you get an opportunity to talk to her, I'm sure she could use the encouragement. She's taking a family leave of absence from her job. I think she's going to work tonight and tomorrow night. Maybe then she'll be off until I don't know when. But remember them. Many still suffering from the virus and cancer and different things going on. And so much I can't even remember it all that we need to remember. I know Caleb and them, remember them. They had a scary situation. We ask you to remember our whole church. We're all in need of it. Our kids are back in school, and things are going pretty good, I think. So continue to remember them. Just pray for their safety. Pray for the safety of our grandparents as we interact with them in different things, and ask you to earnestly remember our nation. It's been on my mind and heart a lot, and you don't want to lose what we've had in this great nation. And I know that sounds a little far-fetched to people thinking that things could change that quick, but it could. I ask you to remember, pray for our nation, pray that God lays on the heart of people to vote according to not a preference of a person, but a moral standard. And I just pray for this great nation. I think it's still the best nation on earth. And I think it's worth preserving. It's worth praying for. It's worth putting some effort into. Y'all have any prayer requests before we get started?
My dad, he goes this Thursday to meet with the heart surgeons.
Remember him. Any others? Pat, have you heard from the guy that contacted our cancer ministry any last week?
Yeah, this blood work done Wednesday. Just wait
on. Remember that. Any others? No others. We will go to the Lord in prayer. And just, like I said, pray for our church. Pray for one another. Pray for Jane and Jackie and Linda Swafford and all these. Just remember them. As you pray and earnestly lift them up. Father, we come to you today thanking you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house and to worship you in spirit and truth. God, we pray most of all that your spirit will be in our midst. God, we pray that you touch these that are hurting. God, those that are suffering from the virus, those that are suffering from cancer, those that are taking care of the loved ones, and so many things on our heart and mind today we can't even remember them all. But Lord, you know all about them, and I ask you to lift them this morning. God, I ask you to come into our presence right now as we start our worship service. I ask you to bless our singers, keep them safe, keep the virus away from them, God, and just be with the whole congregation. I pray that we leave here this morning saying it was good to be in the house of God. Lord, we ask this morning for a special blessing. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You're welcome to stand and join us. It's definitely been a while.
We believe. Thank you.
Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. Now, better. I had to switch off. 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. Let you be getting over there. That's before 2 Timothy, Pat. While you're turning over, I got some exciting news, and I done told Pat, but no, I ain't going to say that. I got some exciting news. We have, remember when we came to this church, we had three girls, and they was all mean, I guess, but the first one we had, it's a wonder the other two ever came along, because she was trouble, and she met this fella here at church, and I didn't know him back then, but according to his family, around 11th grade, he could have been trouble, and all y'all laughing, but you were the same way. It was all trouble. But they met, and of course, you know, got married. Then November of 2018, it's already flew by 2 years almost, and the Lord has blessed them with more trouble. We're going to be grandparents. That's why I got this gray beard. With those two added together, there's no telling what could happen. One thing's for sure, stubborn. But now, thank God we have prayed. Me and Stephanie have, I know, for months and months about that, and God answered, and we'll praise Him for it. And I know that everything's going to be okay. We've prayed and prayed. So thank God for that great news. And I've always heard that grandchildren is God's reward for not killing your own.
Amen.
So we'll try to figure out if that's the truth. So I am excited. But, you know, and by the way of this message this morning, I had thought a lot about this and what to preach, and was reading the other night, laying in bed, and God laid this on my heart about what is the local church. What is the local church? We are, of course, living in a time where many people can't come to church for fear of the coronavirus and many different things, and I completely get it. If I had breathing problems or a weak immune system, I would probably be there also, not holding anything against them, but we're at a time when we're being taught that maybe the local church is not important. Maybe we can do this from home. Maybe we can do this a different way. I don't think it's biblical to do it that way. I think the local church is very biblical. I'm going to show you this morning in 1 Timothy that Paul wrote this letter to a young man, a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And not only did he write it to Timothy, he wrote it to me and every other person that would ever pastor from then on throughout history. And it's the way that things should be done in church and how important a local church is. And it's very important to God and how we should conduct ourselves in the local church. It's all right here in Timothy and in Titus. And it's something we need to pay heed to. But I think this morning it don't hurt to have a little refresher course on the local church. If many of y'all, I think, went through the book of Tom Rainer wrote, that if you hadn't, I challenge you to go down, email Tom Rainer one time and see what happens. You'll get a bunch of emails. I joke about it, but he does a great job. He does a great work. His devotion is to save small churches. His devotion in life is to save churches in general, brick and mortar buildings of churches. The body of Christ is going to be preserved, but he has a heart for the church itself, the local church. In the book, I Am a Church Member, it talks about two kind of members. We have a country club member and we have a church member. A country club member pays a due, and for paying that due, he gets served. They wait on you there. I've never had enough money to join one, but I've been through them before, and I see people getting served. They're sitting by a pool or whatever, and people bring them stuff, and they get to play golf there and all kind of things. And then there's a church member, and a church member don't pay any dues. Well, we give tithes, we know that, but we serve. The higher you go in the local church, the more of a servant you are. You are to be a servant. And this morning, I hope we understand a few things about the house of God this morning, the local church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You can read up in 14 a little bit when you get home if you want to, and on further. But this is what Paul says to Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Father, we thank you for this simple verse today. We ask you to open hearts and minds, God, that we may leave here knowing more about this local church and how important it is to our community, to society, and to families. And God, may you bless this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I began studying out this, and many Bible commentators even, I think, go a little too far of trying to figure out biblical things, and they take the whole meaning of it out. Now, I know as good as anybody, and you know that in the Bible, the church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ cannot be contained in a building. But here, this meaning of the church takes on the meaning of assembly. It is the Greek word, ecclesia, which means assembly. It is referred to the political assemblies in the Greek cities. It's in Acts chapter 16. You can read that if you want to. Where business was transacted by qualified citizens. So the word here, church, or the house of God here, takes on the same meaning of assembly. It's an assembly of a congregation of people. It's a body coming together for a purpose. And in our community right now, we're seeing that there's people who think we can do without this local body. Now, I'm saying that people don't believe you can do without the church, but they're saying maybe there's no need for a brick-and-mortar location. And if you study your history and you go back and you look at the community here of New Harmony, at some point this church was put here because people settled and they realized the need to worship God. And they realized a centralized location to come and to not only worship God, but to have brothers and sisters who would lift them up in prayer, who would be with them through trouble and would be with them through the hard times. And one of the first things you would ever see put in a city or a community would be the house of God. You go to any community. I love going into communities I've never been before. Coming off of a mountain up in North Carolina the other day, and I come down through there, and you know what you see sticking up? A steeple. And you know what comes to mind when I see that? Boy, that feels like home. That feels like home. If I was to move to that community, I would go to that church. I would visit that church. And these settlers, they saw it so great a need that they would put a church up before they'd put up a post office or whatever other building or a bank or anything. If they was going to have a community, there was going to be a local place of worship in that community. And I think we have gotten away from that today. It's gotten to be not so important of us. And it's not very, don't take a rocket scientist to see where our world has went since we have gotten away from this thing. It's an assembly of God. It should be held with honor and great respect. And the house of God should be treated better than our house should be. It should be upheld. The grass should be cut, and it is here. The building should be kept up, and bless God, it is here. And everything should be in order, and it is here. And I think we do a great job of that. But I think on my own self, where I fail many times, is seeing the importance of this local assembly to the community of Heflin. It's important. If this church was gone, it should be in a way. This church should be conducted in a way. If it was gone, Heflin, the city, and the community here in Cleburne County wouldn't miss it. And we have to ask ourselves, is that the truth right now? Is that the facts right now? Would anybody miss us here at New Harmony if we was to be gone? And the answer to that might be hard for me. It might be hard for you, but bless God, we can fix it if it's not true. It held a great purpose then, and it holds a great purpose today. You see, he said something in there. He said this place was to be something that no other building in the community is, and that's a pillar of truth. I remember when I was a young boy, I wasn't in church. I wasn't raised in church. I've told y'all that many times. But when I would go to a church, or I'd drive around a churchyard, I knew I treated that differently than I did anywhere else. My daddy had taught me respect for that place. And mama had told me I don't act around the church like I do anywhere else. And I don't act around men of God like I do everybody else. I don't talk a certain way. I don't act a certain way. And I had respect for that. And we don't see that anymore. You know why? It's because the people that attend those places, many of them walk and act like everybody else, so we don't see any difference in the world and the church. But we need to change it. We need to change it. How do we conduct ourselves? It's an assembly. It should be held in honor and respect. Though it's not enough to have the instruction of how to conduct ourselves, leaders and attendants of this local assembly. He gave us instructions here of how the leaders, and even those who just attend, conduct themselves. And boy, this is stuff hard to read. And you turn over here to chapter number 3, and I didn't put this down for the guys because it was going to take all the room up. But I want you just to listen to some of this. You've got time today. You ain't got nothing else to do. It's a beautiful day. We'll get you out in a minute. It says, but this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how should he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let those also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write unto you that hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul gave us a brief example of how church leaders are to conduct themselves. And listen, I am guilty and you are guilty and many church leaders for all are. We don't take this thing as serious as it should be, but we are entrusted with the greatest responsibility in the whole world. A pastor of a church, and I'm not lifting myself up because I failed many times, and we all do as pastors, but I feel the office of a pastor is probably the greatest position one can hold in the whole world. Why do I say that? It's not anything to lift you up, but it's something to let you know that you are dealing with eternity. You're not dealing with something that passes away. The President of the United States is going to change occasionally, and offices of our governors and all this stuff change occasionally. But one thing that will not change is your eternal destination. Once that thing is said, brother, it is said, and it's up to a pastor to preach the Word of God. And if I'm not preaching the Word of God, and I'm not teaching the Word of God, and I'm not teaching you what is right or wrong, then I hold a great condemnation upon myself because your temporary life is important to me. But what's more important is where will you spend eternity? And every single soul in this building is under my responsibility to do this by preaching the truth. Now, I could change it and fill the pews. And could probably get a raise. We could probably change it. Could probably build a new building somewhere. And we could probably all do pretty well off of it. But listen, the most important thing that we'll ever do is make a decision for Jesus Christ. And that's up to me, number one, as pastor. And number two, it's up to the deacons of this church to rule this place and to run it to thus saith the Word of God. And these rules are set here for us. They weren't set there for the biblical days. They were set there for them, but also for now, of how we conduct ourselves in the local church and how our officers should be. And boy, it ain't fun to look at it, is it? You look at it, you say, well, I'm not worthy to do that. None of us are, but we're given a grace by God to do this. You see, I was ordained a deacon in 2004. Me and some more men was put up for deacons. I had someone in the church who, he didn't mind telling you, he said I wasn't fit for a deacon because I had this little girl I told y'all about earlier that was wild as a buck. Every Sunday, she got a hickory. She killed a hickory tree at Concord. Every Sunday, Stephanie would have to take her out, or I would have to take her out. And when it come time, they was going to wanted me to be a deacon of that church. He said that I wasn't fit because I couldn't handle my children. And he was probably right. And he said some more couldn't be fit because of a marriage situation. It went on for a long time. And a long story short, they ordained us deacons. He left. He didn't think it was right. But the same one, you could look at his own life, and he hadn't handled his children very well either. What I'm trying to say is if we think that we're any able to be pastors and deacons on our own account, we are mistaken and we are badly mistaken, because it's only by the grace of God that a man can meet these qualifications. Because there's times that I fail, and there's times you fail, and to be all truthful with yourself, you can raise a child in the way that's best, and the Bible teaches this, you train them in the way they should go, and they can depart from it. It has nothing to do with mom or daddy. It has nothing to do with the Sunday school teachers. It's a free will that sometimes children will get away from the way of God. But listen, it says they will return. And most of the time they're older when they do return. So understand these things. And I know how bad the struggle is, but also know that we should strive to meet these requirements. Why is it important to meet these requirements, you think? It's because a lost and a dying world outside these walls are looking at us and how we conduct ourselves, and they want to see, whether they'll admit it to you or not, they are striving and longing to see something different in our lives. They're looking for hope. They're not looking for it to be spoken words. They're looking to look at us and to see that there is a difference. In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, puts forth what leaders must be to be pleasing for this assembly, not to man, but to God. You see, I think when we say we're not worthy, because we know what people think of us. We know what people remember of us. And we understand this. We think, well, I can't do that because people know what I have done in my past. Listen, if you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that that is forgotten. It's in the seal of forgiveness as far as the east is from the west, and you have become a brand new creature. And listen, you get a do-over. Boy, how great that is. And those old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. But we must strive to meet these requirements for leadership in these assemblies. It was put here for our safety and for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. So number one, it's the house of God. The term, remember that term, that Greek term that means assembly. This thing is important. Number two, it's the church of the living God. It says it right here in chapter 3, verse 15, the B part of this. It says, how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Hey, we are a church. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we are alive. This is a living body. This is a living organism. This thing is moving. It is breathing. It is ever-changing. It is doing everything that something alive does. And bless God, there's nothing that can hold it down because it's empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. This is a great assembly. This thing is a church of the living God. It is alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, listen to this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all being members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We're a body. We are alive. We can do things. We can reach out. We can touch others. We can send people up. We can do all these things because we are alive. That says this local assembly is put here in a city or in a community. And bless God, it's not here as something dead. It's here as the church of the living God, and something living is powerful. How powerful it is. I didn't put this down for the guys, but I just happened to notice this. And I want you to understand it. There's power in something living. You see, we can have the strongest creature in the world dead, and he's no good. We can have the strongest lion that's ever been in Africa, and if he's dead, a chihuahua can whoop him. Amen? That little thing Pat's got will whoop probably a grown lion. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4, listen to this. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You see, we get the thinking that because we are a small assembly here at New Harmony, we can't do very much. But may I remind you that we are powered by the same God who is powering the First Baptist Church of Texas with all them people, or the First Baptist Church of Atlanta with all those people, or any of that things you want to think about is when you think about powerful congregations. We're powered by the same living God. And listen, there's no reason we can't do anything that they can do. We are alive. It says a living dog is better than a dead lion. I'd rather take this bunch right here of a bunch of believers who are alive and believe the truth of God than I would 10,000 who are there to be seen of people and of what they can wear and the cars they have. I would rather be with that dog than I would that dead lion any day. We are alive. We are alive. Things that are alive, they move. They run. And they function. Hey, they're doing something. Have you ever seen outside of Abbey people that's live that don't move? I said we played volleyball last week, and she put on there herself that she was made fun of 9 million, some of them many times. But I aggravate her and tell her that she's got a theme song when it comes to volleyball. I shall not be moved. That the ball comes right here, she ain't getting it. It's got to come right here. But I'm just joking with her. She knows I give her fits all the time. But listen. Something that's alive moves. And it does things. And it creates something. It does something called work. And I think a lot of our churches, instead of looking like something alive, I think we look like something dead sometimes. You'll meet people in the church and their face will be all sober and they'll look like they've been to a funeral and all this stuff. Listen, that scripture said we're the church of the living God, not a dead God. And when something live, brother, it is powerful, especially powered by God. The living God should be active and visible that we are thriving, not just surviving. We want to thrive. You see, with all this virus stuff going on, I've had one saying in my mind, or a couple sayings, but one is, I may get it and I may die, but I'm going to live till I do. And listen, if I was Pat's age, I'd be hoarded up. But if I'm younger, then I'm going to be out living. I'm going to be enjoying it. You know why? I don't know how much longer any of us has got. And I understand the using your brain and safety. If you have a breathing problem, I don't blame you one bit. If you're elderly, I don't blame you one bit. I would stay at home also and protect myself. But listen, it's not an excuse for us to stop living and to do this. It's okay. I've seen many people who was hooked up to machines and they survived for years. But the truth of the matter is they wasn't surviving. They were surviving, but they wasn't thriving. I want to thrive. Church, that's what we should want. We're having a 150th anniversary one of these days. Well, this year's 150th anniversary for New Harmony. I don't want people to say New Harmony has survived 150 years. I want people to say New Harmony has thrived 150 years. Because when they thrive, boy, they're doing something. They're going forward. They're not just existing. We want to thrive. He said that it was a church of the living God, but then he said something else in the B part of that same verse. Of chapter 3, verse 15, after he said it's a church of the living God, it says it's a pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. The church in a local community should be the truth. It is powered by the truth. John chapter 14, 6, it says Jesus is the truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. The local church should be shouting this to their communities that Jesus Christ is the only way, He is the only truth, and He is the only life. And I tell you this all the time, there's many things that I think is the truth, but there's one thing I know is the truth, and that's the Word of God. You see, I think Alabama's the best football team, but many of y'all would disagree, or a few of you would. I believe that certain things are better than other certain things, and we'd disagree on it, because other people have better experiences with that than have this. But one thing that nobody can say is not the truth is this right here, brother, because it always comes to pass. Every word in the Scripture is true, and it is there for doctrine, it's there for reproof, it's there for correction, and it will stand when the world is on fire. And listen, this church that we have here, this local assembly, it should be grounded on the truth, which is the Word of God. Any problem we have in this church should be settled by the Word of God. Any question we have in this church should be settled by the Word of God. Any doubts, any concerns, any disciplines, anything we have to do should be lining up with the Word of God, or we are wrong. Because it becomes opinions and not truth. The local church should be teaching their people the truth. John chapter 17, verse 7. Listen to this. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. That's the truth. Whatever we have has been given by God, and it's the only truth. We have been given many things, and it's simply by the great grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that we have this assembly that is grounded on the truth. Now, I tell you, there's many outside the church, especially in the time we're living in. They drive by, there's no respect, there's no understanding anymore. But y'all remember a time when this place was a place of truth. When you know that someone from this place, if you was dealing with them, you didn't have to worry about getting 1,000 papers signed. What they told you was the truth. And you know what? As we were searching to get a financing for our little building down here, and you would call people and you would talk to people, you know one of the hardest organizations for them to loan money to nowadays is a church. Something's wrong with that. We should be the truth. If we borrow $100,000, we should pay that $100,000 back, because we told them we would, and that's the truth. In this place, this local assembly that is the Church of the Living God, it is founded and a pillar in our communities of the truth. Nothing else. The surrounding community should know the integrity of the local church, of its members, of its leaders. It should not only be heard with words, but it should be seen by our actions. You see, once you become a member of this place, and I did, I am representing New Harmony Baptist Church. I'm also representing something much bigger, which is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I am out into a world which is full of darkness, you see, we understand today, me and you do, because we've been enlightened if we're saved by the Word, by the Spirit of God. And we wonder, how in the world can people support someone who is going to kill babies even at the ninth month? And we wonder, how in the world is somebody supporting the things that's going to destroy our nation? You know why? Because they are blind. They cannot see the way. They cannot see the truth. They are looking to you to be the light. And God uses you to be the light. They should see your integrity. They should know who you are, not by your words, but by your actions. I put this down, and I probably got it mixed up because I didn't look it up to be sure, because I mess things like this up all the time. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We can say all the time what a great church we are, but if this thing is not saw out in the community, living and breathing and moving, then to them we are dead. We're just simply surviving. The building's still there. I still see cars on there on Sunday, but I hadn't heard nothing they're doing in the community in months. Or years, I ain't heard anything out of them. Are they alive over there? Are they thriving, or are they just surviving? The local church. In closing, our communities are hurting. Local church is supposed to be a place of refuge for those who are hurting and truly in need. The failure is not on God, for He is willing. The failure has come from my laziness and my selfishness. Boy, I thought about that yesterday, how lazy I am and how selfish I am. You know why? Because all my everything I want, I have just about. And you do too. Blessed people sitting in here that I'm looking at. We have jobs, we have incomes that only our parents could have dreamed of. We have things only our parents could have dreamed of. Our grandparents couldn't imagine how nice it would be to sit in a place like this. And all of a sudden you can see the words come up on the wall. Boy, how nice that was. And they can turn a thermostat on with your phone. And we can even change the lights here, turn the lights on with a phone. We can do all these things. We can do all these great things. And listen, what always happens to people when they get comfortable is they get lazy. And they get content. Our communities are hurting from coronaviruses, from racial issues, and from this. There's many other things that ain't mentioned. Coronavirus has kind of took precedence over everything for the last year. We've kind of forgotten about all of our other problems. Think about it. Nobody has the flu, strep throat, any of these things anymore. That's just about gone. We have coronavirus. We need to be reaching out to this community and showing the world a local church is important. But you know what? You won't do that until the local church becomes important to you. Until the local church becomes something that is a priority in your life, it will not be shown through you to a world who needs it. And I believe it's biblical that a brick and a mortar location in a community survives in our day and time. I know that online is great, but we have saw what happens to online. Because I'm as human as y'all are, if I was at home right now, I would probably be watching a fishing show or college football. That's our human nature. God knew this. He tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and more so as you see the day approaching. We need to empower this local church. God has given us the power, but me and you need to see a need of this thing not just thriving in our communities. There's people out there that can drive by and see the steeple, probably step out their door and see the steeple, may have never heard of Jesus Christ, may have never heard of the good things of God. And it falls on me and you. So to you today, I've got a question. What is the local church? What is it to you? What is this place to you? Is it a burden? Is it something you look forward to? Is it something you think is important in the city of Heflin? Is it something you think is important in Cleburne County? Something that's important to the lost and dying world? Or is it simply just a burden? You see, we are guilty of saying it's Sunday morning, I've got to go to church. Oh, I'm a pastor up there. If I don't come, they're going to miss me. Oh, I've got to go. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I've got to show up. We should be so excited to come into this place that knowing that God resides here, number one. Number two, our family. It says we are part of a body. We are a small body of Christ right here in this location. You can survive without a hand, but it don't work good. You can survive without one eye, but it don't work good. The body is designed a certain way, and it works best when all members are present and functioning at their best ability. I aggravate Pat about getting old all the time, but you ask anybody older, most people can't do what they could do when they were 16 or 17. Age sets in, and these members begin getting weak. They begin getting shaky. Our legs don't run like they used to. Our minds don't think like they used to. When a member of a local body is missing, it doesn't function very well. And God has put this location here in this city for a purpose at this time. His purpose is to be a light to a lost and a dying world. So as Pat comes today to play, what is a local church to you? What is this local church? If everyone would, please stand. I said last week, I think this thing going on right now is hurting maybe the pride of pastors, because we're not seeing the peoples come back that before virus times, and may never, we don't know. And I said that it's probably on our selfish desires to be successful in our position, which I believe is called pride. If you don't have pride, you ain't much good, but it can also ruin you. But it needs to be much more than pride. It needs to be a priority in your life is the local church. It needs to be taught throughout your generations. Your children and your grandchildren. Like I said, we can blame these things on everything in the past, but nobody wants to take responsibility of why the church is not what it's supposed to be today in our communities. And it goes back to we have gotten all these things going. Y'all know I love sports. But there are people that are letting that thing take over. There's people that have their children playing softball, baseball, football, whatever sport it may be, every time they can, every minute they got off from work. And you ask them, can you do this? Well, we got a ball game today. We got this today. We got that today. The local church should be the priority in our lives and in our communities, because it's the only thing that's going to last. The things you hear here, you're taught here, your children's taught here, the things of Jesus is things eternal. Everything else will pass away. How important is it to you?